The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Live at the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce Policy Summit in Bismarck at the Radisson, and things are just getting underway as we speak. We have a busy hour lined up where we're going to chat with some of the folks about this particular event in Bismarck today. In the meantime, we do have some time to talk about whatever's on your mind and open up those phone lines. Here's the telephone number, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Is the email address. I see somebody is questioning why I'm here. Why are you there, Scott? Sounds to me like you're attending an event cheerleading, rewarding illegal immigrants and lowering U.S. wages by allowing illegal immigrants to violate our immigration laws and letting them stay and take jobs away from Americans. A pox on the Chamber of Commerce. Well, let me look here. I'm looking at the North Dakota Policy Summit program guide and the topics that will be covered today at this event are on the North Dakota conservation measure, which is a big one, on the higher ed measure, which is a big one. It will be part of our topic at the bottom of this hour, where we're going in general with the state politics, state finances, Common Core, and that whole education issue. And did the word immigration just come up? I don't think it did. I don't think it did anywhere. So I'm not sure maybe this particular emailer is confusing the state chamber with the national chamber. I actually don't remember what the state chamber's position is on immigration. Probably is similar to what's happening. But I'll tell you this. I'm here because I think these issues are important, number one. And I'm here because what this program wants to do is let all voices have a voice and let real people decide where the state goes, and hopefully where this country goes, right? So I don't really see that as being something that is the kind of thing that I wouldn't want to participate in. I mean, the policy summit is just that. Let's sit down and have a summit, and let's talk about policy. And, you know, you've got people that are you know, flaming left-wingers here, that are left. You've got folks on the flaming right-wing side, right? So you've got you know, the state party chairman, Bob Ballew of the Democrats, sitting down with the state party chairman of the Republicans, Bob Harms. So I see that as a good thing, not a bad thing. I don't know. You tell me if I should be here or not. I'll leave that to the listeners. And everywhere I go, I want you to challenge me, question me. Hey, say, Scott, Todd, what's the deal? Why are you guys broadcasting from there? That's fine. I'd say, okay. And that's, you know, I don't mind that at all. But I think that caller might have a different idea of what's happening here. And to be fair, there is a certain kind of cheerleader rah-rah element to many chambers, right? Where you just you walk around and talk about, isn't it great and everything wonderful? And I think that's fair for folks to be critical of chambers that operate in that fashion. I don't see a policy summit where you've got both sides represented and the lawmakers in a room being a bad thing. I think it's a great idea, and I give a lot of kudos to the North Dakota Chamber for hosting the summit and for the sponsors who helped support it, and having these discussions. I think we ought to have more of this, and quite honestly, what they're doing today, which is being viewed by a lot of people as a big deal, is what we do every day on talk radio. And isn't that a good thing? I don't know. You tell me. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. That is the email address, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Give us a call and let's talk. We have some time to chat today before we get to our guests who will join us later on in the program. Was that a little overly defensive, Todd, my response to that emailer, or was that okay? You have an opinion one way or another? Or are you busy attending to something else? Todd?
Yeah, I think I'm connected now. What? Can you hear me?
No!
Hello?
I hear
Hello?
Todd.
Hello?
Todd, Todd was talking, but nobody was hearing him. Okay,
this is like our conference calls that we, that we do. Everybody talks, nobody can hear anything.
Bueller?
I'm going to go get a roll of quarters, and I'll put them in the box here, and let's see if it works better that way.
Ferris Bueller's day off, and you'll get that. But anyway, was I being too defensive?
Okay, now I freaked out and totally forgot what you were asking me, because I'm like, why can you guys hear me today?
No, I was starting to think that the response to the emailer questioning why we're here was maybe a little defensive.
That's very. Extremely.
I was too defensive?
Well, consider the source, Scott.
Well, no. I mean, every listener, and every emailer is vital to me. I'm
absolutely. I'm not saying the emailer is not vital, but there are some people whose emails are going to be a little bit more predictable than others.
And maybe there's some folks you can never please, no matter what you do. Maybe.
But that's true too. So I mean, you have to consider that. And it's not to discredit the emailer so much as the fact that. Yeah, well, and that's pretty much what we would have expected to hear. But, and you're right. I mean, some people cannot be made to be happy. Some people insist on, you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, you know?
Anyway, we'll ask that question of Andy Peterson, see what he thinks. But I hesitate to even use it because I don't see immigration on the agenda. So I'm not sure the caller's up to speed on what exactly we are doing. But anyway, there's a big story in the Forum News Service papers today about a higher ed board meeting. Have you seen this story, Todd? That talks about the president of the Board of Higher Education, who's going to join us later this hour in the program, along with the chancellor. We're kicking people out of meetings so they can have a private discussion, and the transcript has been picked up by the Forum News Service. And I want to ask our listeners whether you see this as a big deal. I mean, I imagine that the Forum newspaper, you know, wants to sell more newspapers, and I think when there's these sort of constant rubs about, you know, open meetings and everything else, it's interesting, and people want to be in the room, and people want to know, you know, if they're kicking people out of the room. But I really just, this whole debate over open meetings and who's in a room and who's not is small ball, in my view. I would much rather we talk about, number one, educating students. Number two, whether we're doing that as efficiently as possible. And number three, how we should go about doing that. Okay, and certainly that's one of the reasons that we're having the guests we do have on, the Board of Higher Ed chairperson, as well, president of the Board of Higher Ed, as well as the chancellor, because there is a measure sponsored by Al Carlson, the State House leader, that would change the way higher ed is governed. That's a topic we have to spend some time on. How much money they spend in administration, strategy, the big picture. These small ball things really kind of drive me crazy. But they're great news stories. I get that, right? They're really super interesting news stories to people. Have you read the story, Todd?
I've not.
Okay.
Okay, hear me that time. Good to know.
Yeah, I could. Let me ask anybody who has read the story to phone us up at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, and tell me if you are of the opinion that this is a big deal. This is a big story, and I'll give you the cliff notes on it if you haven't read it, like Todd, and then you can decide whether we ought to be spending our time talking about this, or whether we ought to be spending our time talking about again, educating students, how we do that as efficiently as possible, etc. Basically, the Board of Higher Education brought in a consultant, and gave them some points. Okay, and His name is Tom Meredith. He's a consultant with Penson Associates and is himself a former chancellor of two university systems. And he told the board, you're running scared. And what you're doing is you're allowing one or more of your university presidents to challenge your leadership. That's not a good thing. He said, the board needs to improve when it comes to leadership and relationships with the public and the presidents. Okay? And Kirsten Diederich, who is the president of the Board of Higher Education, in a recording obtained by the Grand Forks Herald last week, asked everyone but board members and the legal counsel to leave the room so the board could have a conversation with this man. Okay, and the newspapers now are blowing this up like it's the Nixon tapes. I don't understand what the big deal is. Now, I get what the consultant is saying. And I think what the consultant's saying has some merit. Okay? But the story isn't what the consultant said. The story is basically that this meeting might have violated open meeting rules. Let me ask you this. Do you want the world involved in your family squabbles? In other words, put yourself back at the dinner table for the last time you had a knockdown, drag-out conversation as a family. Would you just as soon that the folks on each side of your house and across the street were part of that as well? It's not fun. I think these people should be able to have conversations like that without violating any open meeting laws. But every time one of these, and by the way, I will say this, in criticism of the board, how many times can they step in it? Before you just, and that's why we're having a debate about whether or not they're governed properly. Because it's just sort of one little misstep like this after another. But it all, the root cause of it, in my view, comes back to the law that prevents those kind of conversations from happening in private. And I think that's kind of silly. That's my take. I want yours. 800-228-0550. Higher Ed, a big part of our focus today. Andy Peterson from the Greater North Dakota Chamber and more. Stay tuned.
Listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Loading and unloading grain is safer and more efficient than ever with the Roltec Electric Conversion System from AgriCover. Featuring the new Command 10 remote with next-generation Zigbee technology. It's smart and easy to use, keeping you in control. This completely integrated system uses the same remote to wirelessly operate tarps and hoppers. Over time, the Roltec Electric Conversion will pay for itself. Why? It reduces driver fatigue. It's lighter by design, and it saves time, allowing more trips per day. So schedule your install today by calling Dickinson Truck Equipment, 701-483-4369. Nelson Ripplinger Sales in Minot at 701-721-1252. Burt's Truck Equipment, East Grand Forks at 218-773-1194. Yankton Canvas in Jamestown at 701-252-6927. Or find a dealer near you. Go online to RoltecElectric.com. RoltecElectric.com.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
Custom Bakken Chemistry, the latest sprayer technology, the best undercarriage wash in North Dakota, and two inside bays. You'll find it all 24/7 at the North Dakota Truck Wash. What do truckers say about you, Megan? Why do they love the North Dakota Truck Wash so much?
We definitely are conveniently located behind Senex and Stanley, and we can guarantee short wait times, and we just have the chemistry down so then we can clean the truck efficiently.
South of the Pinnacle Senex on the truck bypass Stanley. Call them at 701-628-1550.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Past the hour, we're live from the North Dakota Chamber, Greater North Dakota Chamber Policy Summit. Head of the Greater North Dakota Chamber is a fellow by the name of Andy Peterson. He's going to join us in a little bit. We're also going to talk with higher education leaders on the program today about a big story about what the consultant is telling them that's making news. But in the meantime, I'd like to talk to you. I don't know if you can tell, but I don't have the best voice. I have the worst allergies these days, and I was in that field yesterday having a blast. our thanks to the Common Ground folks, who we'd hope to have join us today, which is not going to work schedule-wise here because the Chamber folks are backed up and things are taking a little longer than we thought. Common Ground, Conversations About Farming and Food, put on a fabulous event, banquet in a field at Peterson Farm Seeds last night in Prosper, North Dakota. And so I was outside for 3 hours, and I have terrible allergies, and you don't really care. I don't blame you. So that's a long way of saying you talk rather than me. Adam in Fargo, you're up on What's On Your Mind at 800-228-0550. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the, like you said, do we really want other people listening into our potentially incendiary internal conversation? And my perspective is, when everybody else is paying for my dinner and paying for my home and paying for everything that I buy, they're welcome to. Just like with the education, we're all paying for it. Why shouldn't we know everything that's going on? If there's negativity, if there's positive, something is broken, we need to know about it because we're paying for it. We're being forced
right.
to pay for it.
Right. Now, you make a very good point, Adam, and I probably should have been a little more clear when I was making my comments earlier. I'm just saying there are times when a board of higher ed, in this case, or any board or any family, ought to be able to have the ability to, in private, have a conversation. I think how we hire university presidents right now is insane, because every scintilla of that is open. So guess what? Very good candidates are going to say, I'm not going to go through that process. I'll put my name in at the 11th hour or whatever. There's all these games that are played to get around, and you hire consultants for big bucks. They should be given. I think we've gone too far in that regard. But from the standpoint of, should higher ed be held accountable because they're held accountable to taxpayers? Absolutely. I'm only asking for, hey, 1% of the time, should they be able to have those kind of conversations in private? I think if they had, I don't know that we'd have the level of dysfunction that we now have in the Board of Higher Ed. That's all I'm saying.
I think the only response that I would ask is, I would ask that there be some sort of person keeping minutes of the conversation at very least, so that we can be kept abreast of the kinds of things that are being discussed there, so that we at least know these things are being discussed or aren't being discussed. Because if they say they talked about this, well, the minutes don't reflect that, so you probably did.
No, it's a good point. And I think we're both saying the same thing, but I'm certainly not suggesting these things shouldn't be open to the public, shouldn't be tons of scrutiny and transparency. There is, I just think we go a little too far, to the point where a Board of Higher Ed consultant comes in to say, here's some things you're really doing poorly that you could do better, that they want to get better, but because the meeting's public, all of a sudden now it's used by critics to go the other way. And that's one of the reasons we're having a policy summit today. It's one of the hot topics that's being discussed. I believe if we've gotten our open meeting laws a little bit better in the state of North Dakota, we might not have to go through this whole debate about how the Board of Higher Ed is governed. But right now, I think it makes perfect sense to have that conversation. And that'll happen actually coming up here in a little bit. Let's get Sally and Grand Forks in here quickly, and then we're going to talk to Andy Peterson about this great idea, the North Dakota Policy Summit that just kicked off. Sally, your question or comment, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that you can't have a lot of says, well, some open meetings are, you know, you can talk about this or this or this, but not this. But, you know, if the thing with having a nation or a state or a community of laws and not of people is that the laws apply to everybody. Now, I would say that this chancellor displayed a certain degree of incompetence when she asked people to leave the room. That's famously not proper. And
I hear you, and she's going to be here. We're going to talk to her about it head on, Sally, okay? So we're going to do that coming up here on the program and give her a chance to address it. I think that's become the focus of the story, where the focus ought to be on students and efficiency. And then ultimately, number three, what's the best way to make sure we're educating students, we're doing it efficiently in a North Dakota way, what's the best way to govern them? But unfortunately, we end up talking about open meeting laws, and it makes me crazy. Anyway, appreciate the call, Sally, and we'll continue this conversation as we go throughout the program. Andy Peterson is here. He's a little bit tardy because he's got a meeting to run, a policy summit to run, and so we forgive him. How are you, Andy?
Good. Good, Scott. Great to be here. Thank you.
This is quite an event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great event. You know, we are talking about issues that are really affecting all North Dakotans, and we not only are talking about it from our perspective, we obviously have opinions on this kind of thing, but we're talking about it from both sides so that, you know, you can get both sides of the issue, not from us, but from the invested parties.
Tell me the genesis behind this, because I don't recall something like this being done by the chamber before. Obviously, you're part of discussions and debates, usually, as you say, stating your opinion,
right,
advocating for your opinion. But what you've done here is sort of, hey, bring critics into the lion's den. Let's talk to it. Tell us about the concept.
So this has been an evolutionary process for us. You know, we've started this, our fourth annual one, but we've gotten better at it. At this point, we employed a group of members as a steering committee. And so it wasn't my agenda or, you know, John Gottfried's agenda, who's our VP of Government Affairs. You know, it's their agenda. And so they came up with this idea to have both sides of the issue there. And all the time knowing that, again, we have opinions on certain topics here, but it's their agenda and they are talking about it. And it's exciting. It's fun. And I think it may set the bar for future policy summits.
No, it looks great, and it's been quite a buzz.
Yes,
which
it
is always a good sign.
Yes,
because you know there's a lot of political things that happen in the capital city of Bismarck.
Yes.
Sometimes you yawn, and nobody's yawning about this. They're all saying, "I got to be in the room."
Right. We have state legislators, we have business people, we have people from the teachers union. I mean, there are all sorts of diverse people in this room hearing about these issues that are facing our state.
Here's a tough question for you.
Yes.
What's the most important topic on the agenda?
Oh, my. You know, I really like the one, the political panel. So we're going to have the party bosses up there, Robert Harms from the Republican side, Bob Vlew from the Democratic side. They're going to talk about really what they see as the political landscape, how they their vision might be, how it might play out, why that's important, what they might do differently than the other party. That sets the political stage for us, and I think maybe that is the foundation of it. I've seen this done in a small group. It was fabulous. These folks up there are not shy of an opinion. So, Scott, long story short, I think that the real big one is that. And yet there are other panels up there that have huge implications.
Because, you know, politics sometimes gets a dirty word, right? I mean, it's viewed as in a negative way. But to accomplish everything here, you need politics. You need people on one side and people on another to come out with a good outcome, right?
Well, and that's how our country is set up. I mean, we're not set up to have a one-party rule. We're set up to have opposition. And so no one gets their entire way. You know, if we had one-party rule, I mean...
Boring.
Yeah, really boring, but it could be pretty oppressive.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's not in...
The reason I asked Andy, because there's so many things here, I look at it and go, and you're right, I think politics is how you ultimately get some of these things done and decided and in a room, but there's this huge issue, that conservation measure, I know the chamber's...
Yes, we're opposing that.
That's first up, so that's probably...
They're talking about that right now.
The money grab on that thing is just extraordinary.
Well, it's $4.8 billion.
Yeah, right out of the state coffers.
Right.
To buy land, in my view. So they'll debate that now, but I think that's what's going on there. It's a bad deal. Andy, thanks for doing this.
Yes.
Can folks come throughout the day?
Yes, they sure can.
Still sign up anytime?
Oh, you bet.
Goes through this afternoon, and the who's who of the political world of North Dakota is in the room at the Radisson, the North Dakota Policy Summit, put on by our friends at the North Dakota Chamber.
Thanks. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. The higher ed debate when we come back.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Do you love jerky? You tired of the same old gas station and grocery store stuff? Have I got a website for you. MeatTaffy.com. That's right, MeatTaffy.com. I love that name. What it is a bunch of guys with a jerky addiction got tired of the same old stuff and said, you know what, let's go find the good stuff. I mean, premium guy candy. Meat Taffy. So they searched all across the USA and found folks out there in smokehouses and tiny meat shops and little independent supermarkets making some of the best jerky ever. And now, we have a one-stop shop for all that great jerky. And if you go to MeatTaffy.com, it's what you're going to find. The best. I'm looking at a couple right now. Premium six-packs of thin-cut meat taffy straight from the heart of Kentucky. Fantastic. Or a Bayou Blend. It's a Cajun-inspired pack of jerky that was born in the Bayou. Really good. High quality, hard to get, but easy to love. Meat Taffy. Made easy at MeatTaffy.com. Go to the website. They'll ship it to you wherever you are. MeatTaffy.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lorraine Hurley, and I've got news for you. In 2009, a team of doctors won the Nobel Prize in Physiology for discovering that the ends of chromosomes are protected by coverings called telomeres that control cellular aging. Immortalium nutritionally helps extend the lifespan of telomeres and is the most advanced anti-aging supplement to date. Healthy cell growth depends on healthy chromosomes, and healthy chromosomes depend on telomeres. Call 855-315-8326. That's 855-315-8326. Or visit drhurley.net. Hi, I'm Dr. Lorraine Hurley, here to tell you about an amazing pain relief formula. Unlike Tylenol, Advil, or ibuprofen, Livinity Pain Relief Formula is completely non-toxic and actually stimulates healing. Livinity Pain Relief comes in a gel or capsule, and in my years of helping people, I've never seen anything like it. After rubbing a small amount on an aching muscle or a sore joint, many people report the pain is gone within a minute. Call 855-315-8326. That's 855-315-8326. Or visit drhurley.net for more information.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Before the top of the hour on a hot summer day, there's a whole lot of folks crammed in a ballroom at the Radisson Hotel in downtown Bismarck talking policy, which is kind of fun. I always say that, you know, that it's funny when these events happen, people go, wow, this is a big deal. A lot of people are going to be in the room. And I think it's what we do every day on talk radio. This is like another day, and this is, you know, just kind of fun to do it, you know, and face-to-face rather than over the phone or whatever. So it's fun to see this happen. And, again, I give kudos to the Greater North Dakota Chamber for putting it together. One hot topic on the November ballot and certainly on the policy summit today will be how higher education is governed. And that's the topic we'll tackle next with our guest, the Chancellor of the North Dakota University System, Larry Scogin. Larry, nice to see you again.
Thanks, Scott. Nice to be here. Thank you.
And the Chair of the North Dakota Board of Higher Education, Kirsten Dietrich, is here. How are you, Kirsten?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
Thank you both for being here. And Kirsten, you're starting your second term.
Yes, I am.
Chairman. And many people may wonder, seriously, you want this punishment, right? I mean, that's true public service, isn't it?
Yes, I believe in what we're doing, and we're moving forward. It's a very exciting time.
That's great. Well, I want to
Scott, could I say something on that?
Absolutely.
You know, I am so impressed by, I call them citizen soldiers that serve on our board. They come from a vast variety of walks of life. They come from all over the state. They, you know, different backgrounds, different opinions and different views, and they come together. And so I'm really proud of them, and I'm incredibly proud. And this is going to sound like kissing up here because she's my boss, but I'm incredibly proud of Dr. Dietrich for, as you said, really, do you really want to do this again?
Yeah.
And because she's really, you know, she's really in the fishbowl, but she wants to do it right. And so I'm just honored that she would take a second term at it. And for the next year, she and I will be working together trying to get everything going in the right direction.
And it's unique that you have a professor and the higher ed background that you do, in this case at Concordia College, but you're, of course, a North Dakotan, so you're
correct.
Chair of the Board of Higher Education. So you bring a unique perspective. I don't know how often something like that's happened in the history of the Board of Higher Ed. So
I think this is the first time it's happened.
Yeah, very interesting. So anyway, appreciate you both being here. I want to first deal with just sort of the... I would use the word dysfunction, with all due respect, of kind of the Board of Higher Ed, or at least that's how it's viewed, right? It's, oh, my gosh, here we go again, and now there's a new story out about, you know, board meetings and consultants and everything else. I mean, and I know you're trying to get it right, but just explain, is that the wrong word? I mean, is there a need for improvement in how higher education is governed?
No, I think we are doing a fantastic job. What I think we need to do better is get the perceptions that are out there switched over to what's actually happening in reality. I'm glad you brought up this meeting that we had, and it wasn't actually a meeting at our retreat. Our consultant requested that we get together and have some time where we can talk. Anybody could have been there. We knew it was recorded. I don't think you can get any more transparent than that.
Yeah, and again, it's very obvious from the transcript that you were making a point. You don't have to leave. Here's my question, Larry. Maybe this one's for you because you've been in the chair of a president and gone through a hiring process, and you've also gone through now the interim chancellor thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Board of Higher Education wanting to bring in a consultant saying, how do we get better, and not have it be on the front page of the newspaper the next day. I don't know.
Thank you for saying that, because I think people ought to be proud of what they heard. We asked a consultant to come in. He did board training. We spent 4 hours together with the presidents and the staff and the board, and he had asked for a time just to have a hard-nosed discussion with the board, and we were all agreeable to that. We all got up and gave us a coffee break, and we went and had a coffee break. The attorneys stayed in the room to make sure, you know, that no board business was going to be conducted. And they just had a hard note. It was a training session. And that's what we asked the consultant to do, was to come in and give some really good training to the board. This is our second training session we've had with this board. We've got a third one already scheduled. You know, people are talking about, well, the board is dysfunctional. Well, if there are problems with the board, then what we need to do is get the board, the best practices of the board, and get the board working together in under those best practices. And the first time I talked to that consultant, I said, I want you to come up here. You probably heard from his accent. He's not from North Dakota. He's from Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and Kentucky, I think, are the places that he's worked. But nevertheless, I said, I want you to come up here and let's talk about what are the characteristics of a highly functioning board. And Dr. Diedrich was involved in those conversations with him, and we said, you know, come on up and, you know, no holds barred, and let's take off the gloves and let's have a good meeting. And so what hit the headlines, people ought to be proud of. They ought to say, you know, they did some hard-nosed training there.
But I think there was a level of distrust directed sometimes specifically at presidents of the universities. And, you know, if you're from Fargo, you suspect, that Twombly Hall is being run in a strange way. If you're from Grand Forks, you think Old Main's got it all wrong, right? So it's part of the sort of parochial North Dakota nature of what's going on. But the consultant is saying you got some university presidents out of control, Kirsten. Which presidents is he talking about? And, I mean, that really needs to be dealt with head on, doesn't it?
You know, I would say that he did not say that they're out of control. He said through his observations at the board meeting that there might be a level of distrust between board members and our presidents. And I think, to be honest with you, that occurred over the last couple of years, and we have to work diligently to rebuild that trust.
Which presidents is he talking about?
He did not say. He was watching, actually, body language. He did not tell me the name of the presidents. He was just looking at their body language the day before.
And is he right, Larry?
Right as in what?
In that,
say that question.
Well, I think that there is this there's this divide between the presidents
is.
And the board.
There is. Let's put it this way. The board is the governing board. And so basically the board is the boss. And then you've got the people that work for the boss, and that's the presidents. And you hire very high-level people to come into the state. I mean, you know, there's not many of us are native North Dakotans. I happen to fall into that category. But we hire from higher education. We do a national-wide search. We hire very high-level folks to come in, and we want them to be aggressive. We want them to do all the right things for their institution. And then, you know, it's the board job to sort of shepherd over the top of that thing and to make policy decisions. The big issues are resolved by the board, and so you've got really high-level, highly effective leaders in an environment where they're saying, well, you know, I don't agree with the boss on this. What organization doesn't have that? Right?
Yeah, no question about it. Anyway, welcome questions or comments for our guests here tonight. I tell you what, I can't wait till just talk about educating students, whether we're doing that as efficiently as possible, and then how do we do that, right? I mean, that's the debate we need to have, and I guess part of that will happen between now and November on at least the third question of how do we do it. But I know that you two are anxious to talk about it, as the whole board is as well. 800-228-0550. Brian and Jamestown, question for our guests on higher ed. Go ahead. You're on What's on Your Mind, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks for the call.
Hey, from a business perspective and everything, I was told by my boss when I first started working for him, if you didn't document it, you didn't do it. and you should have no problems communicating with your customers or whoever you're working for in a clear and concise manner on exactly what you're doing. Now, I don't disagree with those guys going out separately and having a meeting in private, but at the same time, was there any minutes on that meeting? Is there any way to prove what was said during that meeting? And you're leaving a lot up to interpretation. So, I mean, to kind of skip that and to get the Board of Higher Ed out of that spectrum of the media, why would it have?
Yeah, I get your point. Two comments there. One is saying, was it transcribed? But I think the larger point is what you said earlier. You think things are going pretty good in this operation, but it's not being communicated effectively. So his first point is well taken, isn't it?
It's recorded.
Well, right. First of all, I think that was the real answer. Transcripts.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been transcribed. You can go out and you can read the transcripts. There was nothing secret about it.
That's why these news reports just make it sound like there's some sort of sinister plot to, operate behind the scenes.
You know, but the implication, Scott, the implication is somehow this is a secret recording of a secret meeting. This is a public recording of a public meeting.
Right. I didn't think much is being made of the fact, Kirsten, that you asked people to leave, but they could remain if they wanted, because you wanted a smaller group to be able to talk this candid, but that didn't mean anybody couldn't look at it later or review it or whatever, right?
That is correct. And I am also concerned that they say the public was asked to leave. You know, we didn't have the public there. We had the president and the staff. You know, anybody could have stayed behind if they had wished. So
and there must not have been any media there.
I don't believe there was
any not.
Media.
But it
could have been.
It was a notice meeting. Anybody could have shown up.
Right. So this sounds like sour grapes by the media after the fact, to tell you the truth. But his larger point, I think, is well taken on, you know, the message isn't getting out. So what do you do to change this? Because we're spending so much time talking about the unimportant things rather than the important things, because the message you want to get out isn't getting out. How do we fix that?
I think we're starting today. I think that this the panel discussion that we will be conducting in, maybe a half an hour, is a good start for that.
Got it. And I want to talk about that as well. Let's take one more call from Steve in Fargo. Thanks for the call, Brian. Steve Fargo, listening on AM 1100 The Flag. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, a couple of things. First of all, you know, and we do these big, you say they do these big national searches and get these really qualified people that come in and are going to re-explain the university to everyone. Why? You know, isn't there anyone in North Dakota that would take a $400,000 a year job with a house, with a car, to run a university? Do you really have to get some guy from California that has some strange accent that everyone hates? I'm not saying he was a bad guy, but that was the reality on the ground. How long did he last? You know, 18 months? They fired him and had to carve him off a big check and go find somebody else? I went to school.
Steve, just because we're short on time, I'm going to just ask you to hold tight here 1 second, and let's address that. This is the sentiment we hear a lot. And you decide, Kirsten, and your former Board of Higher Ed members, who presidents are. Larry Skoga at BSC was a North Dakotan, but it is pretty rare. People don't like that. They'd like to see North Dakotans be given a leg up, because I hear that sentiment a lot. Do we do to say, hey, We're gonna go through and do pluses and minuses, but if you've got North Dakota in your history, we're gonna give you a plus. Do we do that well enough?
Do you know what I would like to bring to the forefront? That we just did that. We have one of our homegrown that moved from Valley City up to Minot to be the president. We have Steve Shirley up there, and he's Fargo born and raised. And I think that as far as going out and looking for presidents, we just want to find the best president for the position. That period.
But see, a lot of people see that and say, well, they're here. They're here. I mean, looking for him? For that matter, I would piggyback on his question and say consultants. Are there not consultants here that can help the Board of Higher Ed as well as some guy from Mississippi?
Well, certainly there are. But, if we want a world-class educational system, then we can't be parochial about the whole thing. You know, there's not a moat that runs around North Dakota. If they find qualified folks within North Dakota for these positions, then they're hired. And Dr. Diedrich just pointed out, you know, Steve Shirley's a North Dakotan. He was at Valley City. Now he's up at Minot. Gary Hagan at Mayville State is a North Dakotan. I'm a North Dakotan. You know, there are North Dakotans here.
Steve, I'm sorry we didn't have more time to explore more of your question, but I think we got the gist of it, and I hear it a lot. So I'm glad both Kirsten and Larry got a chance to address it. When we come back, we're going to talk about the ballot measure and what they'll debate here today, and also just the new strategic plan that the board is looking at to fix all this. Stay tuned.
What's on your mind? So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
The North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, or NDON, provides current, accurate, detailed weather data for North Dakota. It consists of more than 70 automated weather stations across North Dakota and border regions of surrounding states. Weather data is retrieved daily from each station, checked for validity, and made available early each morning on the NDON website, ndon.ndsu.nodac.edu. This website provides current weather data necessary for the development of and operational use of various crop, insect, and disease development models to help soybean farmers make timely decisions to keep crops healthy and increase their yield. The North Dakota Soybean Council encourages all soybean farmers to check out the NDON website.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
A word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants have made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state. Your future. Your Farm Bureau.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite intestinal freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dry foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now's the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Top of the hour, rolling on with What's on Your Mind, live from the Radisson Hotel in downtown Bismarck today, where the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce is holding their policy summit. Fascinating discussions that are happening. One right now on the conservation measure this afternoon. The state finances, state politics are in the focus. A common core. These are meaty topics that are dominating a lot of conversations. We're talking about higher ed right now with the chairperson of the Board of Higher Education in North Dakota. That is Kirsten Dietrich. And Larry Scogan, who is the chancellor of the North Dakota University System. Let's talk a little bit about the higher ed measure and what you two will bring to the discussion today. How will you vote on this, Kirsten? come November.
Do you know what? I have been informed by our legal counsel that is not something that I should share with
you. You can't even answer. Okay, well, what's your opinion on it? What are you going to share with the panel today?
I'm going to share some of the questions that Measure 3 brings forward. As far as, you know, you talk about open meetings and open records. How are they going to conduct business if only two of them can speak? Or not even two can speak at one time. So how do they conduct, office business? How do they do anything with higher ed? We're also going to look at how does this change anything? You know, you still have three members who are controlling higher education. We had eight before. Why is decreasing the number going to be any better? Your loss of diversity. So there's multiple questions that have to be answered.
I think the issue that most people, from Mal Carlson's perspective and other critics fairly, I think they could be called critics of the higher ed system, they don't see enough accountability. They see a governor appointing a Kirsten Dietrich or Grant Shapps or Duane Espegard or, members of the board. Maurice Sagsveen, who's a dandy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. But he's chief of staff. He's not on the board. But whenever I see Murray, I always think about the flood of 97.
Yep.
When the boss came to town and he fixed a lot of things. So he's a good chief of staff. But anyway, that's
a great chief.
I'm sidetracked. They don't see enough accountability. They don't see, the board appointment being enough. Where somebody owns it politically. Are they wrong?
Yes, they are wrong. Our strategic planning session that we had about a week ago, we set forth some visions and some missions, directions we want to go, but it always came back to what metrics will we use and how will we keep the institutions accountable to meeting those missions and those goals. So I think that you're going to see in about October 2nd, I believe, we are going to vote on the strategic plan, and there will be nothing in there that will not be held at the metric level for accountability purposes.
So this sounds like the fresh start you've been talking about, to get that perception changed, to wipe the slate clean and begin anew.
Absolutely.
Scott, I'm a little puzzled by the whole accountability issue, that there is no accountability in higher education.
I think when they say that, they mean that in other words, there's plenty of people held accountable, but ultimately a governor should be responsible, and that there's enough layers that the accountability sort of is spread too many different directions. I think that's what they mean.
Well, the board is accountable. According to our Constitution, they're supposed to govern higher education, so the board is accountable to that. But they do hold people accountable. Since I've been here, we have had two presidents leave. We've had a chancellor leave at the invitation of the board. So the board is saying, this is not working out. We all know the issues at a couple of institutions that we've had over the last few years, and those presidents have been replaced. So that is holding people accountable.
I think also a lot of people believe the university presidents have too much power and they're running the show. Now I know you just described, obviously, some that have left.
Yeah.
But what do you say to that? That Twomley Hall and Old Main run the show, and that they don't like this chancellor. They're going to marshal their forces, and that chancellor is going to be thrown out the door.
Well, there are so many things, according to board policy, that devolve back to the board for authority. So if you want to stand up an academic program, a president just can't go and stand up an academic program. Dave Clark at Bismarck State College can't decide I'm going to stand up an engineering program and compete with NDSU's engineering program. The board says, no, you can't do that. If you're going to have stand up a program, you have to come to us and get permission to do it.
Kirsten, do you think the board presidents have too much power?
No, I do not.
You think we've got it right?
I think we have. I think we have things set up so that when we have policies and procedures, and if they're followed correctly, then we have everything in order.
And the new strategic plan you're talking about, does it address some of this as well? I mean, is there any changes in the accountability?
Yeah, I think there's some real changes. And the new strategic plan, by the way, is in the developmental stage, and it's a draft. But as Dr. Dietrich said in November or October, the board then will review it and make a decision on it as we're moving forward. But one of the things that we talked about at the retreat, and I think is really important, and I suspect will be part of the final product, and that is, for the first time, the board and the presidents have agreed that we need to leverage the strengths of a unified system. And that's going to be part of the strategic plan, I suspect. And I was very proud to sit there and listen to the board members and the presidents talking about how we leverage the strengths of a unified system.
I'd like to make you both a promise, if you agree to come back on the program at a time when it works for your schedules. We won't talk about open meeting laws. We won't talk about, you know, board disputes or accountability or anything else. What we're going to talk about is, you know, affordable education for students. We're going to talk about, the students themselves, and maybe a little bit on just how you do that, how you deliver programs that people want, where they live, and the change of higher education. Because hopefully we'll get beyond these sort of food fights and get to that soon. I really want to do that, and I hope you'd come back and participate.
We'd be happy to. Thanks, God.
And appreciate what everyone, I mean, these friends of mine on this board of higher education, is a thankless job right now. It really is a tough deal, and obviously between now and November, a lot of debate and a lot of the discussion about how best to govern higher education will happen, and maybe we need that coinciding with the strategic plan that the board's working on. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The chairwoman of the Board of Higher Education North Dakota, Kirsten Dietrich, as well as the chancellor of the North Dakota University System, Larry Scogan. Doctors both, our guests on What's On Your Mind. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on the program. Bye-bye.
In the radio business, the fuel that keeps this vehicle going down the road is radio advertising. And we have some great sponsors who we very much appreciate, and that includes our good folks at Border Plains Ag Equipment, Stanley, Williston, Glasgow, Montana. Just travel Highway 2, and you're going to find one of the great locations and some great folks. Roger Gelstead and his crew, his son Ryan, all of them, they're just some wonderful, wonderful people, and we really appreciate their support over the years. I stopped in the other day to see Ryan. He tells me about an incredible deal right now that is for a limited time, so you need to hurry. Case IH Combines, any used combine on any of the lots, 3 years, 0% financing. You don't pay a penny in financing for 3 years, plus there's more, a 2 year or 500-hour powertrain warranty. Folks, that's on every Case IH used combine at Border Plains Equipment. Stanley, Williston, and Glasgow, Montana. Find them on Highway 2, Border Plains Equipment. Stanley, Williston, Glasgow, Montana 2 for a great deal on Case IH combines. And tell them Scott sent you.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.